Today, the New Zealand cash rate is held, but no rate cuts can be expected yet. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand held the official cash rate steady at 5.5%, saying the current level of interest rates is constraining spending and hence inflation pressure as anticipated and required. The committee agreed that the OCR needs to stay at restrictive levels into the foreseeable future to ensure annual consumer price inflation returns to its 1-3% target range while supporting maximum sustainable employment. They said the engineered economic slowdown is broadening as higher interest rates have increased borrowers' mortgage payments, reducing what households have available to spend on other things. Higher interest rates also encourage those who can save more to do so, resulting in less spending. House prices have stabilized in recent months at levels well below their late 2021 peak, and this lower level of housing prices is consistent with lower spending on housing-related goods and services. Higher interest rates, lower house prices, and high construction costs have made it less appealing to build houses. The number of building consents has fallen, and residential construction is expected to decline. In fact, second quarter approvals fell 2.6% from the previous 3 months, according to Statistics New Zealand, and the 10,107 consents are the lowest since the third quarter of 2020. And the agency also said that second quarter approvals fell 20% from the year earlier. There were 44,529 approvals granted in the 12 months through to June. That's down 12% on the year earlier period, it said. So higher interest rates have slowed demand and making businesses less willing to invest. Global growth, they said, is also expected to remain subdued over the rest of the year, reducing demand for New Zealand's goods exports. Prices for New Zealand's key commodity exports have been falling since the second half of 2022, including for dairy and meat. Growth in China has been weaker than expected since the country reopened its borders, and it does not appear to have provided a boost to global commodity prices. And labour shortages in New Zealand have eased but remain elevated. Additional labour supply is coming from more New Zealanders entering the labour force and from higher net immigration since the border reopened. But the overall effect of immigration on inflation, they said, is uncertain, as immigrants also create more demand in the economy. The number of job ads has declined as labour supply increases and businesses' demand for workers cools. The combination of weaker demand and improved supply has reduced inflation in New Zealand. Annual consumer price inflation eased from 6.7 to 6% in the June 2023 quarter, and declines in annual headline inflation have been led by large falls in imported inflation, including prices for fuel. Domestically generated inflation is falling more slowly, though. Then they went on to say that inflation remains too high, and while most measures of inflation expectations have declined in the last 3 months, they remain elevated. Most measures of core inflation have remained high, suggesting that inflation will take time to return to the midpoint of the 1-3% target. Inflationary pressures continue to be supported by a tight labour market, but to an diminishing extent. The unemployment rate rose slightly from 3.4 to 3.6% in the June 23 quarter. Most indicators of labour market pressure have eased significantly since 2022. So overall, the New Zealand economy has evolved largely expected, they said, and inflationary pressures are expected to be marginally higher over coming years. Interest rates may need to remain near current levels for slightly longer to slow demand. Lower demand will help reduce pressure on available labour, capital resources in the economy, and that will help to lower inflation. And interestingly, New Zealanders have become reluctant to participate in statistical surveys, raising reliability questions for a range of economic data, as well as the five-yearly census, the nation's chief statistician said. The response rate to surveys of households has dropped to around 60% from 80% or more in the past, government statistician Mark Soden said recently. He His collectors report about 1 in 5 households don't even answer the door when they knock, even though it's apparent someone is inside, he said. New Zealanders just don't seem to welcome people coming to their door and asking them questions, he said. Whether it's an anti-stats thing, an anti-government thing, an anti-stranger thing, we just don't know. What we do know, it's getting harder. Now, of course, reliability of statistical data is critical for policy making. Statistics New Zealand's quarterly job labour market survey generates readings on the jobless rate and wage inflation that feeds directly into central bank interest rate decisions. Another household economic survey conducted by the agency measures income and savings to help determine child poverty rates, while the population and demographic detail from the census informs government spending on social policy and infrastructure. As response rates decline, the risk around reliability of the data increases, he said. The agency is increasingly able to use so-called administrative data gathered by other parts of government, income tax collections, for example, is an indication of employment and is continually enhancing its use of computer modelling to extrapolate results, he said. Still, if we carry on and don't do anything about our model and response rates continue to decline, we'll get to a point where we might say we can't publish, he said. We're a distance away from that at the moment, but it's not an unforeseen risk. And finally, in further New Zealand news, New Zealand's investigation into personal banking services will focus on home lending and deposit accounts, according to a preliminary report by the Commerce Commission. The study is centred on the areas that are most relevant to most people, which is why deposit accounts and home loans are proposed as key focus areas, Commission Chair John Small said recently. Other banking services, like insurance, may be considered to the extent that they're tied into or bundled together with deposit accounts and home loans. Finance Minister Grant Robertson announced the inquiry in June amid suggestions that lenders are making excessive profits. The government was concerned that the market, which is dominated by 4 Australian-owned banks, is not working well for New Zealanders who are facing an increasing cost of living. Our initial review of existing research shows that our banks are more profitable than in comparable economies over the past decades. And this raises questions for us, Small said. We want to understand whether a lack of competition in personal banking is a contributing factor. This is important for the context of our study, as profitability can serve as an indicator of the intensity of competition. The study will look at how the competitive process is working and ask whether customers are being well served, how easy it is for them to swap providers, and whether there are barriers to innovation, he said. And it'll also ask whether bank profits are consistently high, and if so, whether the level of competition can be ruled out as a contributing factor. If competition is working well in the sector, we'll see the benefits to consumers through the quality and range of products available, fees, interest charges, and the services offered, Small said. The Commission is seeking feedback on its preliminary issues report by the 7th of September. Very important inquiry this, and I think we will probably find that competition in New Zealand is not as strong as it should be, which of course means that Kiwis are paying more than they should, and banks are making more profits than they should, but we'll see. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.